He now puts his laws into your mind, into your heart, and he starts writing them in your mind. Now, which is stronger? Put or write? Some write, some put, some write, right? Write. Right. To put is just to place there. To write means to inscribe. Although it must be inscribed in our heart before it can be inscribed in our mind. But it has to be placed in our mind before it can be inscribed in our heart. And when it's inscribed in our heart, it will slowly come up back to the understanding. That's how things operate. At first you accept the word. You put and saturate yourself in the word. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, on your walls and on your gates and on your doorposts, you inscribe the word. You meditate on it day and night. You're putting the word into your mind daily. Every day you meditate, you're putting the word in. And every time you put it there, God takes those things and begin to inscribe them. One day it's inscribed fully on your inside. The other process starts. He now has direct access into your heart. He begins to put... When the word is placed in, when the word is written in our heart, it multiplies by itself. To be inscribed in our heart is like to be sown in our heart. So the word starts producing. Plants grow on our heart. The seeds are growing, it's inscribed. The furrows are being dug in our heart. And the seeds of the word are being inscribed and planted. Through time, it begins to grow like plants. And the seed starts coming up again. And this time there's greater understanding. And it now gets inscribed on the mind. And I can guarantee you, the day it gets inscribed on the mind, something different takes place on your inside. And I tell some people, it is like the mind is born again. For 1 year, in the early days of my ministry, I gave myself to the Word of God, about 8 hours of the Word and now 4 hours in prayer. For 1 year, I read nothing but the Word. I came out of that 1 year and felt like my mind was born again. Although I know there's no such term. Because only our spirits can be born again. But that was what it felt like. Like something clicked on your inside. Something of your mind becomes engaged to the things of the Spirit. That's when the Word gets inscribed into your mind. And then, by that stage, faith is definitely at rest. You're at rest. Faith rests. And you're ready. Is it at the end of each cycle, it's ready for the next cycle. Which is why the next cycle starts in chapter 11. And it says, faith understands. It's in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. In verse 3, after it defines faith, it says, by faith, we understand for the first time. For the first time he mentioned it. At first, faith speaks. You don't quite understand, but you just speak. Homologous. Say the same thing as God says. And then faith rests. And faith rests. It passes through prayer and the word. It passes through the presence and the person of Jesus. And then it gets inscribed in your heart. And in your mind. And now, chapter 11, something takes place. You understand. Which is why the third cycle, I call it, faith obeys. Faith obeys. We can only obey, fully obey, when we understand. Otherwise, it's difficult. And part of that obedience involves, number one, understanding. If you ask a person, or any employee, or any worker, is it easier to obey when they understand or when they don't understand? The answer is obvious. Obedience comes easier when we understand. I live with one Christian family and long ago in my traveling days, and they're talking to me about this story when their little girl was small. And she will always go to this curtain and keep pulling the curtain. For some reason she likes to play with the curtain. And the mother got quite upset and she keeps getting beaten for pulling the curtain. The father, you know, tells her, don't pull the curtain. Don't pull the curtain. One day, the father sat down with her and said, do you know why you must not pull the curtain? She said, no, I don't know why. Says, because when you pull the curtain, and you see those things up there, yes, they will drop on you and fall on you. Oh. And she never pulled the curtain anymore. It was easier for her to obey when she understood the consequences or the rewards of her actions. Every good employer wants their workers to understand the rules, the laws, the regulations of their company. Without understanding, there is no compliance. So we must not only give the rules, we must explain the rules. And sometimes if your organization grows large, you got to make sure that the downline not only gets the rules, they get the understanding too. Which I always repeat to those when we have a rule that comes up because of organization, we say, please explain how the rules came about. Because people need to know how the rules came about and why the rules come about. And so in chapter 11, we began to see in verse 3, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And we have the other areas that are mentioned, all the people, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, and all these people, the essence of it was their obedience. In other words, under faith obeys, is faith understands, and faith acts. When you understand, the action can be constant. Some people act in faith. They say faith sees, faith speaks, faith hears, faith acts. But it acts once and fail. They don't know how to keep on acting. Keep on exercising their faith because they don't understand. It has to be constant, diligent acting on God's word. You understand what is taking place. So faith acts. And then chapter 12, which is part of faith obeys. And if you're interested on the other areas like faith sees, faith hears, faith speaks. Faith hears and faith speaks is in the first section. Faith sees is in the second section. It's all covered. But here is faith obeys in chapter 11 and chapter 12. And faith understands, under obey is understanding, and number 2, acting on God's word. Faith with corresponding actions. And chapter 12, under obedience is endurance. Endurance. The stress of chapter 12 is the word endure. Verse 1. Let us run with endurance verse 2, who looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And verse 12 is talking about these people here. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And it tells us that we must not faint, we must not turn aside, we must not forsake or be weakened, but we must be strengthened and we must endure. We must finish it. He who starts a race must finish it. So obedience is not obedience if it's incomplete. Saul was charged with disobedience when he came back from the slaughter of the Amalekites in the book of 1 Samuel. He obeyed, but he obeyed partially. And it was considered disobedience. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts 5. They must have gave a large offering to the church in the book of Acts. For the Bible tells us that they sold land, which could be worth a lot of money, and they brought it to the church. The only difference was they kept back some of the money. In most churches, the church would have been grateful for whatever amount of money they gave. But there was something wrong, because whatever money they gave, they kept back part, and they claimed that what they gave was the whole part. In the first place, if they didn't want to give, they could have kept the land and kept the money to themselves and just gave the tithes. So in a sense, it was good of them to ever thought of bringing something to the church. There was some sort of obedience there. But at the same time, there was disobedience, therefore it was incomplete and there were lies involved. And the whole thing became disobedience. Obedience is not obedience until it is completed. There's no such thing as obey partially with God. An incomplete job is considered disobedience. We need to consider that carefully in our life. And the key word is endurance. To be able to finish the race, come what may, complete it. That's the reason why God did not speak to some people further. Because God gave them a word or a revelation or the first part of a vision, and they never obey fully. They never follow what God said. And they expect God to show someone before they obey. God says, no, you finish that part first and I'll show you what the next step is. You need to finish and be obedient. Finally, in chapter 13, faith, praises and worship. And the praise and worship is number one, there must be a feeling of contentment. Faith is not grabbing. Faith is not dissatisfaction. The quality of faith has a satisfaction in God. In chapter 13, he says in verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content. Notice, the same book which teaches us to have faith, faith for finances, faith for prosperity, faith for healing, faith for every area, and the faith message tells us, do not be covetous. I wish that people who teach prosperity also teach, thou shalt not covet. Because many people who tap on the message of prosperity without having a cleansed heart end up claiming for things they should not be claiming for. End up trying to exercise faith for finances that they couldn't handle. And sometimes when you look like these people behave like little children. And sometimes in the course of time, you meet people who says, I believe in God for prosperity, for abundance, and the moment they have the first paycheck, and the first sign of obedience or blessing that God bring into their life, they spend it on trying to get into a huge big car or something that is beyond their budget. And then you know this is the kind of heart that they have. And it's not right. Faith must be, the quality of faith has a contentment involved.